Greetings, Easter pilgrims. This is Pastor Bob coming to you. It's the first middle Sabbath of the Easter season this year. And we'd like to bring you a little recording service for your listening pleasure and to help keep that spirit alive in your hearts. And so what we're going to do this evening is we're going to open with a prayerful psalm reading. We're going to hear a poem that was sent to one of our church members that has a really good message to it. We're going to have a scripture reading and a little short message. And we're going to end with a wonderful song from our friend Monty Jackson. So that's what is ahead of us. And we're going to begin, if you'll come into a posture of prayer, with a traditional worship opening psalm. It's Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. May this service and your listening to it give glory to our God. Amen. Earlier this week, a member of our congregation at Vine Street Christian Church shared a poem that had been written by the friend of who sent him the email. Her name is Marlene Graber, and we've been given permission to share this. The poem is called A Golden Opportunity on a Silver Platter. And here it is. For many years, people have moaned unto the Lord for extra time. They used excuses like, if they'd have time, they have promised they would be better people. If only they had more time, they would do more good, be more relaxed, serve God longer, spend more time on their knees. But oh, if they just had time. So, one day God stopped the world. Literally. He locked it down to the point where people could not even leave their homes. And he said, here is your gift of time. And he watched. And people ran frantically to the stores for food, to their friends for supper. They fought the gift so hard that God felt a state of sadness. As he watched, people use this gift he had placed on the silver platter and handed to them so graciously, they turned to their phones computers, TV, anything, so they wouldn't think about this time they all had. And God watched as they wasted their precious gift called time. What are you doing with yours? Again, the author Marlene Graber with a wonderful reminder about how important time is for all of us and how often we use that as an excuse. Don't have enough time. If I only had more time. Well, this is the time for more time. And what we're encouraging here through these recordings and devotions and services, we're encouraging you to use that time for God purposes. Become closer to family members and strengthen those bonds. Spend more time reading the Word, diving into the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Find more than one time a day to pray, to be by yourself, set aside, and pray to the Lord. To get that new eyesight where you can see God working all around you, even in the midst of a pandemic. It's amazing to see how God works in all circumstances. What a great time this is to build your faith, to give it to God, and to not waste it on trifles that aren't to the point. Amen. And now I'd like to offer a short scripture reading and a brief homily based on the article that's contained in today's Vision newsletter. Let me just set a context here for timing. Last Sunday was, that's right, Easter. And this coming Sunday is, that's right, the Sunday after Easter, often known as Low Sunday. Low Sunday because of the great contrast in attendance between Easter Sunday and the next Sunday. I called this week between the two the most dangerous week. Red alert. Why is this the most dangerous week, and what can you do about it? Well, I think Jesus knew this was coming. You'll remember that first Easter when he rose from the tomb. He appeared to Mary Magdalene in the Gospel of John as the gardener. And then he called her by name and she recognized him. And then that evening, remember, in that upper room, he came back and appeared to all his disciples. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But one disciple wasn't there that evening. You remember? Thomas. So it was 8 days later, just about a week, that the disciples got together again. And Thomas said he wouldn't believe unless he saw and touched. And Jesus said to Thomas, "Go ahead, put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." And towards the end of John chapter 20, the next sentence tells us what Thomas said in response to Jesus. "My Lord and my God." There's never a report that he ever touched Jesus, never stuck his hands in the wound. At that point, it wasn't needed. He exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." He believed. And then this part of the chapter ends with this very interesting line by Jesus. I'm now in John chapter 20, verse 29. John chapter 20, verse 29. Right after Thomas says, "My Lord and my God," then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." It's as if Jesus knew there was going to be an exodus of people who believed or followed Jesus. People like Thomas, who didn't see him on that first Easter and yet didn't believe because he hadn't seen him. But a week later, I wonder if they called it Low Sunday, Jesus came to them again and Thomas was there. And Thomas believed, but then he was looking right at Jesus. He was having a conversation with Jesus. I don't think that's going to happen to any of us on this Sunday after Easter. I think what Jesus said at the very end, "Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway," was a testament to us. The believers in the 21st century who have never seen Jesus, never walked the earth with him, but believe anyway. I can tell you this, with church attendance as a gauge, there's a lot fewer people who believe and commit their life to Jesus the Sunday after Easter than there were the Sunday of Easter. It's the most dangerous week of the year for Christians, for believers, because the fall off is so stark and dramatic and significant that it makes one wonder, where am I in all this? Am I still a doubting Thomas who won't believe until I see with my eyes, touch, have a conversation with, still waiting on Jesus to walk with? Or have I come to that point where I believe in Christ? I embrace the Holy Spirit. And even though I haven't seen him, I believe. See, this is where faith needs to carry us. Faith in something we've seen and we've touched and we understand. You know, that's no faith at all. That's believing in something worldly that we can measure and use our senses to understand. Faith is what this week's about. The faith to believe, as Jesus said, when we haven't seen. The faith to come back and say, "Now, I commit my life to you." Low Sunday's a great Sunday to do that. We'll be asking you to do that this Sunday at 10 a.m. on our Facebook Live service. It's a perfect Sunday to dig deeper, to make the commitment more firm, to put more and more of your heart and soul into the life of Jesus Christ. It's time, you know. that we all turn from our priorities in the world and look ahead to the values of the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal values, universal values, things that speak to our soul and not just our worldly person. Where are you on this most dangerous week of the year? Are you candid enough to be totally honest about that? Has Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on you yet? Has He led you down a path that points in the direction of heaven on earth rather than a worldly life on earth? Which way are you facing in your life today? The people who face the world are always looking for more of the world and from the world. You just can't get enough, and you never will. But you'll keep trying till the day you die. On the other hand, the people who have turned, repented, and believed that the kingdom of God has come are looking at a new life. Jesus calls it a life most abundant. It's not the second best life. It's the best. It's the one Jesus came to give us. It's available to everyone. But it requires action on our part. A turn. A pirouette. Away from the world and towards the kingdom of God. This is a week to stand up and ask Jesus for more, not the world. Jesus gives you the abundant life. With Jesus, you find peace and joy in exactly what you have. And you find the kingdom when you live like He did. Trust Him. It's true. Well, as we move towards the end of this middle Sabbath service, the message that we're clearly getting from Jesus is don't fade away. Don't back away. Don't give in to the lure of the world, and don't become convinced that the world can give you life more abundant. No matter how much you accumulate in the world, you'll always want and think you need more. But when you give it all to Jesus, you'll see exactly how blessed you are. And for our closing song this evening, we're going to turn to our good friend from Trinity Presbyterian Church in Sparta, Illinois, and Monty Jackson. Here's Monty.
I'll walk with God. My prayer.
Wow. That's the Monty we know and love. And the message is, I'll walk with Jesus. That's the answer to the most important questions you'll face in your life. I'll walk with Jesus. I'll walk with Jesus. Say it after me. I'll walk with Jesus. One more time. I'll walk with Jesus. And now we're ready for the rest of our middle Sabbath evening and on into the rest of the first week of Easter season. A final reminder, look for us again this Sunday at 10 a.m. for our Facebook Live Sunday Sabbath service called, ironically, Low Sunday Service. Well, we'll see. And finally, three words. Amen, hallelujah, and amen.